Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 2. And I'd like to dismiss the children at this time to Children's Church. And I'm sharing a Christmas message I've never dug into before. This is from a passage that is familiar, but I'm very excited about being able to share with you. We have been this Christmas in a series called He is Coming. In other words, the world was waiting for the coming of the Lord in Bethlehem. Our first Bible study was called Gospel Anticipation. Do you realize the Old Testament was full of scriptures predicting the coming of the Messiah? And that for hundreds of years, the world was waiting. The Jews were waiting. The world was waiting. Creation was groaning. I mean, the world could not wait for the coming of the Lord in Bethlehem. And then we looked at grace extended, when the Lord came, how His grace has been extended. We pictured that through the life of Mary. When the angel came to Mary, grace was extended. And what did she say? She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." How do you respond to grace? How do you respond to Christmas, church? You respond by saying, "Lord Jesus, whatever your will is for me, I receive that will. I want to be faithful to do whatever your word tells me to do." That is the proper response at Christmas time. Well, in Luke chapter 2, there's another facet of His coming that I want us to look at, and it's glory that is revealed. Now, find your place in Luke 2, and you follow along as I read in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." Verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid." Or as we learned as children, they were sore afraid. You heard that. They were sore afraid, or greatly afraid. Verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold,'" boy, I tell you, when God says behold, something's about to happen. I love it. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host." Man, what a phrase. I got to read this thing. I can't preach it while I'm reading it. Let me finish reading it. "Heavenly host, praising God and saying," verse 14, "glory," there's that word, "glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now I want you to look over at verse 25. Find verse 25 in that same chapter. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." That's a powerful phrase right there as well. "And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Can you imagine having that promise? This elderly man, God spoke to him and said, "You will not die until you see with your own eyes the Lord Christ." Man, would that make life? Could you anticipate living then? Just wondering everywhere you go, is this going to be when Christ comes back? Verse 27, "So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Now watch this. And the glory of your people Israel. Now, go back to the beginning of chapter 2. Look at verse 9. The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Go to verse 14. The angel said, glory to God in the highest. Go to verse 32. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. If you're a person who writes in your Bible, I was going to say a Bible writer, but we don't have any more Bible writers. But if you're a person who puts things in your Bible, I would circle those words, the word glory in verse 9, the word glory in verse 14, and the word glory in verse 32. Glory revealed. Do you anticipate things? You anticipate maybe knocking off time on Friday afternoon when it's, you know, it's the end of the week and you get to go home. You anticipate it. You anticipate a glass of water, Jeff, when you've been on a long ride. Maybe, well, you got it with you, so you're drinking it while you go. But, you know, if you're on a, you're running a marathon or you're in an athletic competition and you anticipate water, whatever it is, there's something exciting about anticipation. Well, I want you to know the world was waiting for the glory to be revealed. And that's what I want us to talk about. The glory of God can be described in two senses, as a general category or attribute of God and as a specific category referring to a particular historical manifestation of God's presence. That's the way we're going to look at it. Now, we know the scripture makes it very clear that God possesses glory. We're going to talk about what the word glory means and just say it's an amazing theological word. But the scripture records praise to his glorious name, the Bible says. It talks about the glorious Father. So when you think about the general category of the infinite God, it talks about the glorious Father. The Bible says in Psalm 24, he is the King of glory. He is exalted above the heavens, and his glory is over all the earth. He is the God of glory that appeared to the patriarchs. He is a jealous God wanting to maintain his glory and unwilling that it be given to another from Isaiah chapter 42. He acts to bring glory to himself, Psalm 79:9 and Isaiah 48:11. This is the quality of glory that God is a glorious God in himself. Okay? We could spend months talking about the glory of God. Just that God is glorious. Can I say that? God is glorious. Amen, church? But now, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about locations where the glory of God manifested itself. Can you imagine living your life and all of a sudden, like the shepherds, angels appeared and the glory of God, the Bible says, shone round about them, you would be sore afraid. And I would too. That's what I want to talk about. The part of the glory that is revealed in places, that's what we want to talk about today. Now, the people of God experienced the glory of the presence of God. In the Old Testament, there was a cloud that was their glory. There's so many references to this, but if you're writing fast, Psalm 106:20, Jeremiah 2:11 talks about that the glory cloud was the people's glory. That was their glory. It was God revealed in that way, okay? Christ came as the embodiment of the glory of God. God was in the midst of his people. That's what they were anticipating. That's why the baby being born in the manger is so amazing, because of the anticipation that the people had. The groaning of the earth at wanting the Messiah to come. And that's why angels showed up. Angels show up. Listen, angels show up when the intersection of mankind and the glory of God meet, there's angels around all the time when that happens. It's amazing what happens when that transpires. And so you see that Christ came as the embodiment of his glory. He was in the midst of his people. In the Old Testament, the glory of God was presented as a pillar of fire. A pillar of fire that came over a place, and they knew that was the presence of God. Now, in the New Testament, there's a place where the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2 upon God's people, and it said it's like tongues of fire. There's something unique about fire and the glory of God. It's just evidently it's so bright, it appears to be as fire. The glory of God is as fire. It is so bright and overwhelming. We see that in the Old Testament. We see at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, his presence filled the people, and his dwelling, the dwelling of God's presence was in the people. The Spirit of glory rests on those who suffer for the name of Christ, the Bible says. That Spirit is the guarantee of the glorious inheritance of the saints. God has given us, his people, the hope of glory. That's talked about in Scripture. Those whom he has chosen, he will also glorify, the Bible says. They will share in the glory of Christ. The sufferings of this age do not compare, the Bible says, with the glory which shall be revealed. So there's so much talked about in Scripture about the glory. The whole creation longs to see the glorious freedom of the children of God, the book of Romans says. This hope of glory is so certain that Peter can speak of participating in it even now while looking forward to that eternal glory. So we're going to talk about glory. We're talking about the way God revealed his glory in Bethlehem and the way God revealed his glory at Christmas. Now, here's the word glory. If you want to write just this, what the word glory means. From the Old and the New Testament, it means beauty. It means splendor. It means magnificence. Now, here's the word that gets me. Glory has with it the idea of weight. W-E-I-G-H-T, weight. Have you ever had somebody say, boy, we need to discuss that, and that's a weighty matter. You ever hear that phrase? That's a weighty matter. In other words, look, clear your mind. Clear out your mind, because this subject matter has weight. The word glory has with it the idea of weight. That alone to me just gets my attention. The glory of God. In other words, God's glory is so heavy. And the question is, can we in any way even be in the presence of such a weighty matter? The glory of Almighty God. It means weight. It means dignity. It means honor. It means distinction. The New Testament gives it some other flavors of splendor and brightness. That's where you think about that idea of the fire. And then, of course, amazing might. So, glory revealed. There are three places in the Christmas story where glory is revealed. And I want us to think about it. And I'm praying that it'll change the way we think about our Christian lives, because it'll make an impact on us. And we will desire to become even more obedient and faithful to the will and the work of God in our life. The first place is this: glory on earth. Number one, glory on earth. Now, y'all are just looking at me. Get your bulletin out. Hey, if you don't know the work I go through to get that in that bulletin. Hey, I tell you what, I'm locking the doors. You don't get out without a filled out bulletin today. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. All right, look. No, I'm kidding. You don't have to write it down if you don't want to. But I will tell you something. 95% of the things you just hear, you forget. So I encourage you to take notes. Write things down. Okay. Glory on earth. Look at verse 9 of our chapter. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The word glory is expressed on the earth, ladies and gentlemen, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, in the Old Testament, we see that a lot. We see in Exodus chapter 16, verse 7, the Bible says, "And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord." The people of the Old Testament, they woke up in the morning. Can you imagine? They woke up in the morning. They saw that pillar of fire. That was the glory of God. They saw it in the morning. "For he hears your complaints against the Lord," that scripture says. In Exodus chapter 24, it says this: "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." Do you know what I'm talking about when I say Mount Sinai? Just shake your head. Okay. Mount Sinai, where Moses went to get the Ten Commandments. Hey, look, if you don't have fun today, I am. Boy, I tell you what, I'm excited about this message. All right, look. Moses went on Mount Sinai, and the Bible says that he experienced the glory of God. Now, the Old Testament glory of God was what they called the Shekinah glory of God. That is an Old Testament phrase that means the glory of God, and it's the Shekinah glory of God. Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and the Bible says, listen, when he came off that mountain, his face glowed. Let me tell you something, folks. When we spend time with God in the morning, we can face, one preacher said this way, a man can face another man at noon when he spent time with the Lord in the morning. When Moses came off of that mountain, he glowed. The people said, but he has been in the presence of Almighty God. And so the scripture makes that clear, that that was a reference to the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. It says, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 40, it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle. The presence of God was in the tabernacle. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a place, they had built a movable temple, a tabernacle. When they traveled, they would go and they would set that up, and the presence of God was in that Old Testament tabernacle. Now, can I just say this as a sideline? You know where the tabernacle of the Lord is in the New Testament? It's you. The Bible says that the Lord is tabernacling among us. He's in us. That's why I love, we should put up a little sign, a little extra sign on the bottom of our sign. I went to a church in seminary that had this, and I always thought this was neat. It ought to say out there, North Central Baptist Church meets here. Do you get that? Because let me tell you something. Now, this auditorium is used for tons of things. We had a dinner theater in here. Hey, listen, we play amazing killer dodgeball in this building. John, when I used to play, and you know what I'm talking about, we used those Voigt volleyballs. And we always would, we loved it when we were in high school, if you could actually make the imprint of Voigt on somebody's forehead. Now, we have gotten spiritual at North Central. We've gone off and bought special dodgeballs you can throw, and they don't even hurt that much, okay? So, you know, the pain is gone, so I've given it up. It's no fun anymore, you know? But anyway, but the point is, we do everything in here. Can I say this? This is a special place. This is a very special place, and we need to take care of it. It needs to be a picture of that this is a place that God has given this fellowship of believers. Can I tell you something? I don't believe that the presence of God is in this building. The presence of God, now I hope the presence of the Lord is in this building now, right now. But I don't believe that when there's no one here, the presence of God just stays in here like a burning fire or something. No. You know where the presence of God is? You are the tabernacle of God. So the sign ought to say North Central Baptist Church meets here, because when we're not here, we're the church gathered right now, and in a few minutes, more than you think, we're going to be the church scattered. Don't just hold on. You'll get your place in line at the cafeteria, wherever you're going at the lunch. You'll be all right. But no, the point is, The point is, what I'm trying to say is the presence of God was with the people in the Old Testament. That was the glory of God. Okay? And then it says in Psalm 63, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. So in the Old Testament, the presence of God was that way. But here we see his glory on the earth. Israel had waited for years and years and years and years for the glory to return to Israel. The earth was groaning for the glory of God to return. In the scripture there, in verse number 9, the glory of the Lord shone, I like that word, shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. By the way, every time the glory of God shows up and an angel appears, the Bible always says the people were afraid. Hello, duh. I think that's probably going to happen to you or me if an angel appears and God's glory shows up. But the Bible says that the glory of the Lord shone. It means to illuminate. It's the same word that was used in Acts chapter 26, verse 13, when Saul was converted. Because it says there was a light that shone from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. Paul says, when I was converted, a light shine that was so bright. That is the glory on earth. God's presence on earth. And fear comes upon the shepherds like it does in Zacharias' life back in chapter 1, verse 12. If you want to go back two pages in your Bible, Luke chapter 1 and verse 12, it says this. Well, let me read 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. He was in the temple, and he was doing his priestly duties there in the temple. And it says, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. So, what are some places that the glory is in the Christmas story? Number one, there's glory on earth. Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, praise God for the glory of God coming to this earth. Can I tell you this? Do we need God's presence now? Man, I tell you, like never before, it's almost like a Gatling gun every day in the news. Something bad that's happened. Somebody that has been, some country in war, some murder that's happened. And too often we tend to get used to it. And I pray that we would be a people in prayer for our nation, in prayer for our world. You know what this world needs? This world needs glory on earth. And it can happen through the gospel message. We're going to find that out in here in just a second. All right, number two, glory in heaven. Listen, there's not only glory on earth, but where's another place there's glory? There's glory in heaven. Look at verse 14. Well, let me read 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. That's an amazing statement. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Now, lest you were like me and you thought that that meant glory to God in the biggest way ever. In other words, glory to God in the highest. In other words, glory to God in the biggest way ever. I want to glorify God. That is a correct way to want to glorify the Lord, but that's not what that means. It means glory to God, listen, in the highest heavens. So when you want to circle the word highest, glory to God in the highest, circle it, make a little line out to the margin, and just put highest heavens. In Luke chapter 19, verse 38, the Bible says this, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So where is their glory? Let me tell you what Bethlehem did, Christmas did. It put glory on earth. Praise God it did. It put glory on earth. But I want you to also know in this Christmas story, there's glory in heaven. Glory to God in the highest. Now, another interesting word I just have to tell you about in verse 13. And suddenly. Sometimes God does things suddenly. It says in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel. In other words, they didn't have any time to ramp up for this. They didn't have any lead time. Are you a planner? You like to have, you like to know everything in advance. You're an administrator. You like to know, hey, listen, sometimes the Lord shows up suddenly. Can I tell you this? Look at me. You may be here in this service minding your own business. And suddenly, God is going to do something in your life today. The Bible says, and suddenly. Can I tell you this about Scripture? This is interesting. Malachi had predicted the sudden coming of the Lord to his temple in Malachi 3:1. The angels suddenly announce his arrival at Bethlehem. The Spirit's coming, at Pentecost was sudden, as was the appearance of the Lord to Saul. We've already talked about the analogy, the seeing of when Saul was converted. It was sudden. Sudden. As was the appearance of the Lord to Saul on the road to Damascus. Mark 13:36 and 1 Thessalonians 5:3, listen, describe the suddenness of future events. The Bible says that one will be taken and the other left. In the future, can I say this? It's another sudden. The coming of the Lord is going to be sudden. There are people that say, I know things are going to get so bad and I'm going to get right with Jesus right at the end. I'm going to live the way I want to live right now. And then at the end, I'm going to get right with Jesus. Can I tell you this? There will not be time. The Bible says there is a suddenness. For some reason, God does things in certain circumstances, he does it suddenly. When I went to youth camp as a teenage boy, I went there to play softball. They said, I wish I had my trophy. It's in my office. I've won a few trophies in my life. This is my pride and joy trophy. It's about that big. We won the championship in softball as a teenager at youth camp. But I went there to play in that, and my friends were going. I went there, and all of a sudden, suddenly, when I came home, I was saved. I mean, I didn't plan on that. But suddenly, God spoke to my heart and said, Calvin, this is the hour. You make your decision for Jesus Christ or not. And I'm so grateful that God gave me the grace to be able to say, I give my heart to Jesus. It's been the greatest decision I've ever made in my life, to surrender my life to Christ. It hadn't been perfect, and I hadn't been perfect. If you want to know the truth, ask Kelly. She's been with me 33 years. We've been married, and she can tell you all the difficulties. But I tell you, every time I have obeyed the Lord and done what he wanted me to do, it's brought nothing but blessing. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is when you give your life to Jesus. But can I tell you this? Don't put it off. Because one of the things the Bible teaches about suddenly is that Jesus is going to return suddenly. Suddenly. That's very, very important. So something, oh, by the way, the heavenly hosts. First of all, I like that word, the hosts of God. Listen, these are the angels, myriads of angels. And also saints of God that will praise him. There was a, suddenly with those angels that were there on earth, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Revelation tells us that in heaven, God is glorified 24/7, 365. The Lord God is glorified. He deserves. He is weighty. That makes sense? If there, you say, boy, that's a weighty matter. Can I tell you, there's nothing more, it carries more weight than the God of this universe. Oh, my goodness. The God of this universe. And so we see something's happening in heaven. Glory. Something's happening on earth. But then the third thing, and I'm done. Glory in Israel and salvation to all people. Because Simeon, here's this guy. As my son Jerry says, here's this old geezer. I know he loves me when he calls me a geezer, but that's okay, you know. Here's this old guy that's a priest, and God has said to him, you are going to see baby Jesus. Can you imagine? And so he, all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph, they bring Jesus to the temple at the proper time to do things that are according to their customs of the law. And all of a sudden, every day Simeon gets up and wonders, is this the day? Is this the day I'm going to see Christ? Oh, I'm anticipating it. Folks, you think anticipating Christmas. These kids think anticipating Christmas morning. Boy, I used to anticipate it. Man, I spent 3 days begging Mom to get one opened early. I mean, it was just everything I could do. I couldn't wait. That is a thimbleful of anticipation compared to the anticipation of the earth for the coming of Christ at Christmas. Simeon had that type of anticipation, and so he sees him. He took him in his arms, verse 28, Luke 2, 28, and then he sings a song. This is a hymn. Somebody remind me, next year, I'm excited about it. I'm going to do a series on the Christmas hymns in the Scripture. They're powerful. This is one of them right here. This is a Christmas song that was sung. Mary's Magnificat is another one. But this is Simeon's song. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Notice that he equates seeing Jesus as salvation. That's significant right there. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory, and the glory of your people Israel. The Jews were waiting and anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And so this is glory in Israel. So here are some places where we see the glory of God. We see it on earth. We see it in heaven. We see it in Israel. And we also see the salvation of God's people. This is a salvation hymn, a missionary hymn. Remember this, that whenever there is a sinner who repents of their sins and trusts Jesus, there is a party that happens among the angels. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, the Bible says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. If you want to start a party in heaven, you give your life to Christ or you help someone else find Jesus. That gets the excitement going in heaven. Now, he says in verse 25, go back to verse 25. I have to turn back a page in my Bible. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just as devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, or the encouragement of Israel, the settled answer for Israel. That's that consolation. They were waiting for the coming of the Lord, and the word waiting is there as well. They were waiting. In verse 38 of our chapter, it says, and coming in that instant, this was Anna, who was a prophetess, and she, this is a whole nother story, but I want to just show you this word. She is celebrating the coming of the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 38, it says, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, they were waiting for salvation. The highest glory in Israel is seen in the salvation of the Messiah. So Simeon says, my eyes have seen salvation. To see Jesus Christ is to see salvation. The earth is waiting in anticipation. Now, I want you to go back to the book of John, and we'll be finished right after this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go forward to John chapter 1 and verse 14. Talking about glory. Glory revealed. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his what? Glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christmas is about glory. The presence of Jesus on this earth was so powerful, it split open a portal into heaven. And some of the glory of heaven spilled. It spilled on the earth. And those shepherds saw it. They were scared to death. And the angel said, Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And we caught a glimpse, for briefly we looked up and we saw those angels, and with them was the heavenly host, where there's glory up there as well. So there's glory on earth, there's glory in heaven, and then there was glory for Israel and the salvation of all people. The last thing I want to say is that angels, we don't know tons about angels in the Bible. And boy, there's a lot of things written about angels. Can I just tell you this? Angels were created beings. They are not saved like we are. They're not converted. And I really think they're upset about that. Now, this is me. I don't have chapter and verse for this, okay? You're saying, yeah, I knew that when you said that, you didn't have chapter and verse. But this is just me talking. But no, here's the thing. They're so intrigued by salvation. They just can't get over the fact that the Creator who created them to be the servants of the earth and the servants of God as created beings, angels, that this rebellious crowd of people on the earth that God had created to have fellowship with Him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created us, and we rejected Him. And these angels, they just can't imagine that God is so passionately after people. And they're intrigued by it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says this. It's talking about salvation. It says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. In other words, in the Old Testament, the prophets talked about God wanting to have a relationship with His people and how that God was going to send a Messiah to make that possible and all of this. And then at the very end, it says this, to them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from God. In other words, God is sending salvation to people. And then it ends that verse. I love this phrase. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, things which angels desire to look into. They cannot figure it out. Angels, and they always are around. The angel announced the coming of the Lord to Mary. He announced the presence of the Lord, the glory of God. And when you see the glory of God, it's related to the salvation of mankind. Folks, listen. Christmas brought glory to this earth. And we are never the same. One poem says it this way. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever set sail, all the emperors that have ever ruled, all the parliaments that have ever met, will not have an effect upon this world more than that one solitary life of the Lord Jesus Christ. All history is really His story. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.